The following inspiring Torah class is brought to you by Nale.com.
At the end of the whole story of Eliezer finding Rivka for a wife, Yitzhak Avinu, we have the parents agree whether Besurel was poisoned himself. It's a whole different story. Lavan, the mother, they're ready to send Rivka away. They called Rivka and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So they escorted Rivka, their sister, and their nurse, as well as Avram's servant and his men. They blessed Rivka and said to her, "Achoteinu at hiyi lalfei rivava, v'yirash zarech et sha'ar sonav, sha'ar sonav. Our sister, may you come to be thousands of myriads, and may your offspring inherit the gate of its foes." And as the article of Stone Chumash points out, they refer to the blessing given to Avram and Har Moriah, "I will greatly increase your offspring." Now they express to Rivka their hope that the blessing of Abraham would be fulfilled through her offspring. "May it be Hashem's will that these offspring descend from you and not from another wife of Yitzchak." This bracha, right, they blessed her before they went, Achoteinu at, this bracha has significance for our lives as well. Rabbi Kaplan, in very seminal work on the customs of a wedding made in heaven, notes in source 3, after the veiling, after the bedekin, when they put the veil on the bride, it is customary to bless the bride with a blessing that was first given to Rivka. And he brings here to add, Yisimech Elokim Kisar Rivka Rachel Valeya, the blessing that we give to our daughters on Friday night. The custom that the bride covers her face when she approaches her groom has biblical antecedents. Just before Rivka met Yitzchak, the Torah says, she took a veil and covered herself. Again, the end of our parsha. This is a sign of modesty that brides keep to this very day. Moreover, Yitzchak's marriage to Rivka marked the beginning of the Jewish people. The bride emulates Rivka in the hope that she'll be equally worthy in her marriage. It's very interesting, the whole ceremony, the bedekin, which we're really not going to touch today, but we'll just make mention. Oftentimes people think that the bedekin is based on the idea that Yaakov Avinu didn't know who he was marrying, Rachel or Leah, and therefore we check it out before they get married. If that were the case, then what the chassan should do should be uncovering the bride, right? Lift up the veil, are you the right girl? Good. By putting on the veil, it seems to be the exact opposite. So that's why the Shulei Pinchas notes, Asur l'adam shikadesh et ha'isha chiren, you're not allowed to marry a woman until you meet her, until you see her. So that's why first he has to see her. V'achar kach mechassim ha'paneh shal ha'kalah b'si'if, and then one covers their face. And at that time, giving the bracha v'achoteinu at. And again, it's this idea that he brings at the end of 4, v'atikach ha'si'if atikach, that just like Rivka Imenu covered her face, and this is a sign of sneis, it's a sign of modesty, we also cover the bride's face as she's about to enter the chuppah. This idea, though, and this is what we're going to focus in on, of there's a minhag Yisrael, brought down the kids of Shulchan Aruch as well, as we'll see, of blessing the kala, whether it's the chassan who blesses her, whether it's the chashuvei ha'ir, the rabbanim who bless her, whether it's the father of the kala who blesses her, right? There are different minhagim of who blesses her. If you've seen the Belzer, the big Belzer weddings, the Belzer Rebbe would come to the kala with the siddur, the chumash, and give this bracha to the kala. He brings down here in source 4, quoting a Shamati b'shema zaken hayashisha tzaddik harav leib mibreslov, sheyomar b'shal l'kichat, when we take this veil and put it on the top of the kala to say this pasuk, v'nachom ma'ol ufiyah niyastayti, it's very appropriate, v'yesh bol son gadol, there's a great secret in saying this pasuk and doing this whole ceremony. And we have one question for today, it's a very simple question. Onam kvar tamhu, source 5, continues Shili Pinchas, al kach b'sfarim ha-kadoshim. The holy sfarim ask a very basic question. Ma ra'u al kach l'varech kol kala dafke b'brachazu. Why is it that every kala we bless with this bracha? Shebirchol Lavan Arami v'nei mishpachto, that Lavan, the sister, and his family, shayu rishayim gemurim, they were wicked people, and Rivka imenu. Haim chaserot brachot shel tzadikim levarech b'hem et hakala halo davaru. Are we sure blessings, right? Bless her with Birkas Kohanim. Are we sure blessings that we need to take this bracha? And further, ubiyoter yipala, it's even further wonders, according to the Medrash, why did Rivka Imenu have children for so many years? So that these people shouldn't say, you know what, our bracha, our tefillah came true, that she had children. So it dafka didn't come true. Elavayater Yitzchak L'Hashem L'Nochach Yishtel, next parsha, that Yitzchak Avinu had a daven for Rivka Imenu to have children. So even further, the question is, we see that the bracha doesn't even transpire, at least at that time, or we shouldn't say that the Russia's bracha came true. So we're giving a bracha that perhaps didn't even come true, given by a Russia. Like, what's going on here? Like, again, are we short brachas that we have to dafka take this bracha? So that's what we need to understand. What is the symbolism of this bracha? What's the meaning of this bracha? And obviously the lessons that we can gain for our lives aside, above and beyond, in this specific context of blessing the Kala. The classic answer that's given before we develop our 3 1/4 levels is the answer of the Chasam Sofer, where he says, we know that Rivka Imenu had 2 children. She had Esav and she had Yaakov Avinu. So when Lavan is blessing Rivka, he's saying to her that we know very often that Robanim Domim Lachayayim, that most sons resemble the mother's brother. So therefore, the bracha is not about Yaakov Avinu. Not that you should have many children or Brit Tzadikim. The bracha is about Esav, that Achoteinu Ad, you are our sister. And therefore, being our sister, you should give birth to children who are like me. And who will they will be the ones who are going to vanquish their enemies. So therefore, what do we do? Avalamala folk, to see the language of the Chasam Sofer himself in Parish Moshe 7. Birchato lebirchatenu, anorim achotenu. Chelik shalom, shalanu, shu chelik Yaakov, zeyelafe rava. We take the very bracha, which Lavan had intended to really be for his own benefit. He was intending that the children should be like him, they should be Rishayim, and they should be successful. So we turn that very bracha, it's a beautiful bracha, we turn it for our own benefit. Achoteinu Ad, you are our sister. You are like Yaakov Avinu. We want the children to turn out to be tzaddikim, and that these children proliferate and be able to vanquish their enemies. And indeed, as the Chudashem of Eben Yosef Nehemiah points out, that this is why the Chashuvei Ya'ir, the important people, the Rabbanim, give this bracha, so that what they're saying is, V'yu Abanim Ochim Achrei Chashuvei Ya'ir, Achoteinu Ad, you are our sister. Halavai, that the children that come out of you should resemble us, should resemble these great Tamidei Chachamim, and that's the bracha that is given. That's the classic answer that is given, that the bracha itself is a beautiful bracha. Ah, Lavan intended it in one way, so we turn the bracha around, Achoteinu Ad, you are our sister, and we turn the bracha on its head. Having said that, I'd like to try to look at 3 1/4 dimensions. The first dimension will focus in on Lavan giving the bracha and Rivka receiving the bracha. The second dimension will be about the one giving the bracha, in this case Lavan. The third dimension will be about the one receiving the bracha, Rivka. And the fourth dimension, that this bracha has nothing to do with the one who's giving it and the one who's receiving it, has a totally different import, and that will end with the Mirat Hashem. Before we shereich umash, source number 9, Hagemara Omeret, the Gemara teaches us in Yevamos on the Pasuk in Parshas Baloscha, Uvenucho Yoma, when the Aaron would rest, Shuva Hashem Rivavos Alpha Yisrael, that the Shechina will rest on Rivavos, Rivava is 10,000, Rivavos is plural, 20,000, Alpha Yisrael, Elf is 1,000, Alpha, the minimum of plural is 2,000, 20 plus 2 is 22,000, Jews, Melamei Chain, Shechina, Shura, Pachom, Mishnei, Alephim, Mishnei, Revov, Israel. We know the Shechina will only rest on 22,000. V'zoi Kavanat, Lavan, Kan, Shibirecha, Rivka, Shakla, Yisrael, Shalav, Tishra, Shechina, Yitzemimano, that now Taka, again, that begin with, that Rashi quoted, that you should be the one that should have the bracha of Avraham Avinu, that this was really a bracha that Lava was giving to Rivka Imenu, that you should be the one to be the conduit of all this blessing, you should be the matriarch, and that you should be worthy of having many children, and that these children should be worthy of having the Shekhinah rest upon them. So this is the bracha that we're giving to the Kala. This is a beautiful bracha. And indeed, as the Sri Le Pinchas develops this based on the Chatan Sofer, that this is Mivur Mizeh, Shetach Lekinu Mitzvah's period through Rafir, he lashlim Mizpar Shnei Alofim Vishdem Ravavav, Kadei Shetishrei Shekhinah Bisrael. The purpose of getting married is to be able, if possible, to have as many children as possible, and to be able to ensure that there will be always a certain minimum amount of Jews, that Hashem's Shekhinah, Hashem's presence will rest on them. And we know that the whole idea of the Shekhinah resting is the pasuk that says in 11, "Bechol makom hashir askir et shmi avoy lecha braticha." Any place that Hashem mentions His name, then Hashem's will come and bless. So where is Hashem's name mentioned? Shuvah Hashem reveals Alpha Yisrael. When there's a minimum amount of people, Hashem's presence rests among them. If Hashem's presence rests among them, then this is the place that Hashem will come and bless. Which means in simple English that we're saying to the Kala, we hope that you will be able to continue to produce children in this world and to be able to be zochet to have many children in this world. And by having children, you're going to ensure that Hashem Shekhinah, the divine presence, providence, will rest among Klal Yisrael. And when that happens, then you're going to be the conduit of God being able to bless all of your needs. So really what this bracha is saying Achoteinu Arayi, basically saying, may Hashem grant you all the blessings that you want. May Hashem come down, that there should be Ashras Hashchina, a divine presence. They'll be able to come down and bless you. So this bracha is really a catchphrase for saying to the Kala, may Hashem bless you with all the brachos in this world. This, my friends, whether we realize it or not, and oftentimes we don't realize a lot in life, is the bracha that we give to our boys on Friday night, the bracha that you should be like Ephraim and Menashe. And there's a lot of Torah on why Dafka Ephraim and Menashe, why not like Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, like we say, Zaruf, Garuch, Olvaya. So one of the answers that's given is Taka here, that the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu is, we say it over and over again on Simchas Torah, V'heim Rivavos Ephraim, V'heim Alfei Menashe. These are the Rivavos, that 10,000th of Ephraim, and these are the Alfei Menashe, and these are the thousands of Menashe. So what we're really saying to the boys are that you should be like Ephraim and Menashe, who are blessed with the multitude of numbers, and when you have the Revoth Ephraim, the Alfei Menashe, when you have all of these people, then the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, comes to rest, and once the Divine Presence comes to rest, then we have Shashchinah Sharalayim, Vayidei Zeh Yizku L'chol Brachos, just like by the blessing, the bracha we give to Kala, we give the same bracha to our boys, that you should grow up to be Ephraim and Menashe, meaning that you should have Heim Revels Ephraim, the Heim Alfei Menashe, you'll have a lot of children, and when you have a lot of children, then you'll be able to have the Shekhinah rest, and once the Shekhinah rests, you'll be able to be zochet to all the brachas in Klal Yisrael. If we take this idea, so this is a very beautiful bracha that Lavan is giving to Rivka Imenu, it's a bracha we give to every Kala, that they should be zochet to build a Bais Nema Yisrael, and have the Shekhinah rest upon them, and be fulfilled. Hashem will fulfill all their brachas for the good. If we take this just one step deeper, after all you'll say, but he's Lavan, and how could Lavan give such a bracha? So the Shvila Pinchas, or Pinchas Friedman, brings down in Source 15, we know that Chazal tell us that Kashez was Zivugan Kikriyas Yamsu. Making a zivug, making a match, is as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf, as splitting of the sea. And we know there's a tremendous amount of Torah on this, right? You just have to jump in. Everyone ever tell you that? My Shinnach, just jump in like Kriyas Yamsuf. Be a napcha. So here, that's not what we're going to talk about. Here he says, what was found by Kriyas Yamsuf. So we know the very famous Zohar HaKadosh, where the angels had a kitruk. They had an accusatory force. They said, Manishnu Elam Elam, in the Aaron 15. What difference is it between the Egyptians and the Jews? These guys worship idols, and those guys worship idols. So he says, Kain Bezivu, Gol Shalata Mekatrugin, Raklipos, Kadelim Noazifu. There's a lot of forces that try to stop a match from happening. Anyone who's ever tried to make a match, anyone who's ever tried to marry off their children or successfully married off their children, b'chasdei Hashem, knows that there are a lot of different people who say things and remarks that are made and things that happen that just create an accusatory force that it's very easy. It's such a fragile thing. It's very easy to break up a shidduch. So therefore, we understand now in Source 16, Tzetzel Chasam Sofer, that Love on Abisuel said, what can we do? Meshem Yatza Adavar, Lo Nuchal Daber Lecha Rav Tov. It is so clear that Hashem is, you know, guiding you this way. After Eliezer tells the whole story of how he makes this condition, and Rivka came, and you know, the whole story. Right? It's repeated again, a lot of words about this story. So, the Hashem, the Yudkei Vavkei, we have no achizabal, that's the Midah of Rachamim. We have no handle on the Midah of Rachamim, on the quality of mercy. So, we have no idea, we have no choice but to let you take this girl. However, they weren't so thrilled, and therefore they said, Teisheva Narai Tani Yamima Osor Achar Teila. But we have an idea. Why don't we wait a few months, a year, and then you should go? What was the reasoning? They thought in the bracket of 16, Ki Chashu Sholai B'toch Hasman Yetzlichu Lorem Midas Adim B'Shem Elokim Sheishlam Ksat Achizabo V'az Yimseu Zman B'chushar L'Akim V'Tazibuk Shoy Yitzhak V'Rivka. What were they hoping? If she stays there a little bit while longer, then perhaps they can be ma'orah, they can awaken the midah sadid, the attribute of justice, which they felt they had more of a handle, like Bilam wanted to wait for that hour to curse the Jews where God was going to get angry. And there's a lot of sources that link Lavan and Bilam being one and the same person. That's for a different shear, but it's that same mindset, that perhaps we could find that in that moment of kitrut, that moment of accusatory force, and then we won't have to have the zivug, then Rivka won't have to marry Yitzchak Avinu. To which Eliezer, understanding their mindset, says, Al tachru oti, don't hold me back. V'Hashem hitzliach darki. And Hashem made my way successful. V'Hashem, as we find, V'Hashem imtir al stone v'amora gafri fa'esh, that Hashem and Hashem threw on stone all of the sulfur and fire. So there, Chazal tell us that V'Hashem represents the Vav coming to add, who obeys Dino? Hashem, and the Beis Din, and the quality of justice. So therefore, Eliezer answers back, V'Hashem, no, you're not going to find any way to get out of this shidduch. V'Hashem, even the quality of Midah Fadin, even the quality of strict justice, agrees to this shidduch. At which point, they then bless Rivka. So therefore, says the Shri Pinchas, what we find here is much deeper than just a regular bracha, that the Shrina, the Divine Presence, should rest on you. It's also on a deeper level that Lavan is saying that we see that even the Midas Hadin, even the Divine Justice, wants you to have this Zivuk, and that's the bracha we're giving to every Kala, that there should be no Mekatrigim, there should be no accusatory forces, that this Chassan and Kala should be able to get married and build a beautiful family without anything getting in their way, without anything disturbing the Shalom Bayis. And indeed, he brings down in 22 the Orla Shamayim, that this is one of the reasons that we cover the Kala during the Chuppah. We don't want any accusatory forces to be able to give her an ayin hara, to be able to give her, you know, a negative eyes and create any type of negative forces. So we want this chuppah, we want this, not to say breaking the glass as well, this Torah on this, to break any ayin hara, any negative forces, let it come out on the glass, not on the chasen and kala. Right? Hapach nishbar v'anachdu nimlatnu. The pach, the jar, the vessel break, the container break, and they will be saved, because there's such a moment when the chassid and kala are standing in front of everybody, there could be so much ayin hara, it could be so much negative forces. We break the glass, we cover the kala, we're trying, we give this bracha, that even the accusatory forces should bless his chassid and kala. So that, my friends, is the first idea of what this bracha is about. It's Lavan being able to say that there is an inyan of multitudes of Jews being a place of where Hashem Shechina rests, a place of bracha. This is a bracha that we don't only give the kala, we give our sons every Friday night, Ephraim and Menashe, to have this in mind, that they should grow up. And they should be part of the multitudes of Klal Yisrael, that Hashem will come down, will bless them, and they will be able to have all the blessings in this world rest upon their heads. Lavan perhaps had a mindset of waiting for the negative force, and when he realized it wasn't going to happen, he's blessing them that all negative forces should be protected from, and that's the bracha we give the chassid and kala, that all negative forces should be saved from them as well. That, my friends, is idea number really two. We saw the chassid and sofer. This is the idea, the next idea, Aleinu L'shaveach, source 24. If that's focusing what we just saw on Lavan and Rivka, that was his focus on the one giving the bracha. Leinu L'shaveach points out in the asterisk in 24, Vine Rivka Achein Higia L'rum HaMaimos. You see, the bracha did come true. Rivka Imeinu became one of the Imahos, one of the great matriarchs. V'zachta L'nivuah, and she was worthy to have prophecy. V'aita M'amidav Shal Klal Yisrael. She was one who established Klal Yisrael. We see from here that Hashem gives power in every person. Even a person who's found in Lavan's house, to bless his friend with great things. And even at times, you see the bracha fulfilled in its entirety. Very beautiful sefer by Rav Meisler, Bishur and Melech, that brings from different various Hasidic sources about ideas connected to the wedding. It's a very, very special sefer. So he brings down here, Amru Chazal, Minai Lebircha Chatanim Minatara, where do we see the bracha of giving a bracha to the Chatanim? And there's really two aspects. This is the idea we learn from Lavan of the bracha of the Amusim, which we're not even talking about here. We learn it from Lavan, and we have. Why do we learn it from him? The Yesh Lomar Atam De Chazalim Zut Zot We Love Him To El Daika Kedei Shelo Yaleh Olay Ben Adam Lachshov De Birkar Chatanim Osa Roshem Rakish At Tzadikim Adolim Yivarachim Ota. You shouldn't think that the bracha of the when you bless the chassid and kala, it's only great people who bless them. Ma she'enke kanashim shutim kamonu mufarachim ota. Ma anu ma birchoteinu, who are we, who's our bracha? Therefore, Chazal tell us, no, we learn here that we hold by, we use Lavan's bracha as our prototype to teach us. She'anu ruyim lavarach birchoteinu v'shukuyam birchoteinu b'mloa. It doesn't matter who blesses the chassid or the kala, the bracha of the chassid will be fulfilled. And this is a very important point. Sometimes people think you need to have the biggest and the best. No, we know the Gemara tells us birkat hedjot shouldn't be kala beinecha. A simple bracha of a person shouldn't be light in your eyes. You know, what comes to mind when learning this piece is a pretty well-known story, and I'm sure there were many stories like this. Forgot exactly which Rav it was. It was one of the Gedolim in this past generation who was invited to be Masada Kedushin at a wedding, to be the one to say that Birkos Chatanim, Sha'asar Lanu Taruso, Vitir Lanu Etid Asuim Lanu, right? Yechub of a Kedushin. And he was invited to be the Masada Kedushin, right? We'd like to give it to very, this is also part of the Birkos Chatanim, we'd like to give it to very Chashiva people. And he saw that one of the witnesses at this wedding wasn't a person who was worthy to be a witness. To be a witness at the wedding is a far greater responsibility than being the Masada Kedushin. People sometimes get confused about this. I think the Masada Kedushin we have to give to a Chashiv Rav. And the A-team, you know, you just pull anyone out and let them be the aid, let them be the witness, which is not true at all. We see here that Masada Kedushin can be anybody, right? You're going to love them. You know, not that you should do that at your wedding. But the A-team, the witnesses, is what make the wedding kosher. So when he saw this, he realized that the things have to change. So he went over to this individual and said to him, he said, you know, in a very pleasant way, you know, I've had many opportunities to be Masada Kiddushin. I don't believe you've ever had this opportunity. It is so special. And since you're close to the Chasana Kala, I'm sure that they would really appreciate if you would be the Masada Kiddushin. And he convinced them to be the Masada Kiddushin. And he was the eight at the wedding, this great Rav. And again, he understood that the eitos is more important than being Masada Kiddushin. And that's what we have to understand. That we have to get, you know, all the players right. In fact, the eitim have to do tshuva before they can be eitim. They have to be people who are worthy of eitos, worthy of testimony. Because that's really what makes this wedding a valid wedding. This idea, going back to our sources, this idea of that every person has the koach of bracha. I'd like to just look at a little bit deeper. We've spoken about this idea many times, and we'll touch on an idea we did speak about a few months ago, because it's such a Yesodic idea. It is so fundamental, and it's something that we gloss over, unfortunately, a little bit too easily. An idea we have not touched yet. It's a lot of ideas we haven't touched yet, my friends. It's the Ginzei Chaim. Rav Zaitchik, who's Mechaber of Orch Hadash. My daughter saw this sefer in Brooklyn last year in Newell's that I love, Rav Zaitchik's writings, so brought it back. Won't tell you what the bill was like with all the sperm she brought back from America. It sounds strange to bring back sperm from America, but some things we only find there. So the Ginzei Chaim, Rav Zaitchik, who was a very prolific writer. So he asks, Ma tiva? What is the tivat pnimi shel bracha? What's the inner aspect you give somebody a bracha, right? Labriyot. Bless you. Like, you give people blessings all day. What is bracha all about? So he says, A bracha, very different than we normally understand it, is mentioning good qualities of a person. When you mention these qualities, wow, you're so efficient. You did such a good job with this. Memela yit'orer Regesh harachamim v'achesed mimakor brachos. That's going to awaken from the source of blessing a fountain of bracha. Ki maila hi birkat bracha, ubracha hi maila. He's a very important line here. When you speak about someone's greatness, that's a bracha. And the bracha is, that's the maila, that's the greatness. The mushal that he gives, very beautiful mushal, is when I switch on a light. So there is, I don't know much of electricity, so you'll have to excuse me, but there is some type of current that goes from the main electrical power into my outlet, and the light bulb goes on. That's what a bracha is. A bracha is hitting the kaftor, hitting the light, is saying, wow, this person has this mila, has this special quality. When I mention that quality, it then turns on the light that a shefa bracha, a tremendous amount of blessing, should come upon the person. You know where you see this, my friends, in a Rashi that we all know, but we don't think about? In 27, Eila told us Noach, Noach Yishadik. These are the descendants of Noach. Noach was a righteous man. And Rashi explains, Ho'il v'hizkiro, siper b'shvacho, because he's mentioned, right, Elo told us Noach, siper b'shvacho, shvacho, he mentions his shevach, Noach yishtadi. Shenemar, listen to the Pasuk Rashi quotes, Zecher tzadik levracha, that you mention a tzadik, it's a bracha. By saying the shevach of a person, by pointing out the good qualities of a person, that in itself brings down a bracha. Mashma shezuchimras ha-shevach hi-hi a bracha. And this, my friends, the idea of mentioning the positive aspect of a person brings down a bracha. You see as well, by not just mentioning things, but by looking, the ayin, the power of the eye. And this you see in 28, about how careful Bilam was to see part of Klal Yisrael in order to be able to curse them. That the seeing has an impact. In 29, how the Ramban speaks about that when Moshe Rabbeinu counted Klal Yisrael, they all had to stand in front of him. Because by seeing these people, it makes such an effect. And by seeing this effect, it creates this connection between Moshe Rabbeinu and these people, and that is Ma'orah that awakens this feeling of love, this feeling of bracha. And that is why as well, in Source 30, of Kol Tivarchuk and Israel Amor Lahem and Birchas Kohanim, that you have something very unusual. 31, the Kohanim are Kalpei Ha'am, the Kohanim face the people, Vachareyam Kalpei Shechina, but they turn their backs to the Aron Kodesh. We generally do not turn our backs to the Aron Kodesh. We're so careful not to turn our backs. Why do they do that? So they can look at the people. When they see the people standing, Be'ema Be'ira, standing with awe and trepidation to get this blessing from Hashem, that arouses the ability for the Kohanim to be able to bring down the Shefer Bracha from Shemayim. Hinei Lefisa Yuzbar Gan King, what the Yerushalmi says, it doesn't matter who the Mevarach is. Because Kol Inyan HaBrachot is Haskarat HaMaimos VaShava. A bracha is mentioning the beautiful aspects of a person. Vaskara Ma'orer Potachin Mekor HaRachami. So you say to a Kala, Kala Na V'Chasuda, beautiful Kala, you're awakening a Shefa Bracha on this Kala. And it doesn't matter, he says, who is the one who's Ma'orer. Because it's not about the one blessing. It's about the one who's pressing the kaftor. Ki ha-bracha hi lo mitzana mevarech, lo mitzana miparech. The whole idea of the bracha is not the one giving it, it's the one receiving it. That the one receiving it should be worthy of bracha. The one receiving it has these qualities that the bracha can then descend upon this person. The idea of a bracha is to be able to affect a charge, affect a energy, that you mention something positive about a person, you say something good about a person, you bring down such a positive energy on this person that has the ability, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, to bring down a tremendous bracha on the person. Let me concretize this idea with a story. Hopefully it will be helpful. Rabbi Spiro, in his last book, Spark of a Story, tells of a boy named Itzik, otherwise known as Yitzchak, in Hebrew they called him Itzik, who was came from a very troubled home. He was what we call in Hebrew a shavavnik. In English they call that somebody who's very hyper, can't sit, was more in the pizza shop than he was in school. And, you know, rabbis tried and tried, and, you know, he just wasn't interested in learning and, you know, rather have a good time. So his 8th grade Rebbe worked very hard that he should get into Yeshiva Ketana away from his home, a dorm situation, and, you know, said to him, going to give you a fresh start. So school was very wary of taking him, and they said, okay, Elul Zman, 1 month, we're trying him out. If he doesn't toe the line, he's out of there. Well, this kid wasn't able to toe the line in a month. Like, you know, what do you want from him? Suddenly he's going to sit down? So he was in class doodling and, you know, doing what he normally does. At least he was in class, you're right. And one night he gets to his dorm, like 2 weeks into school, and he realizes that he left his pages of doodles in his Gemara, which was okay, you know, he'll just see them tomorrow. But he had a lot of important phone numbers also on that page of doodles. And that he was afraid that someone might, you know, take his Gemara, you know, see it's a page of just doodles, throw it out, and he was a little bit worried. So he got dressed, went down to the Beis Medrash to get his page of doodles and phone numbers. He opens up his Gemara to take out the page, and who walks by at that moment? His Rebbe. And his Rebbe pats him on the back and says, Itzik, wow, you stayed late to learn? That's amazing. Kol hakavod, Itzik. Itzik looks up and is about to tell him, Rebbe, it has nothing to do with learning. It has a page of doodles and numbers. But by that time, the Rebbe had moved on, and he said he was just going to drop it. Itzik got back to his dorm room, and he said, you know what? That compliment felt really good. And he said, why did that compliment feel real good? He realized that he had never gotten a compliment in an educational setting in his whole life. Had to make pizza, he got compliments, but never in school. And he said, you know what? That really felt good. I want to try tomorrow. And the next day, he started to pay attention. And his Rebbe said, Itzik, you're on a hot streak. You really are getting it. And one compliment led to another. And before he knew it, he was mechaving to a Tosfos. And before he knew it, he was at the top of a shir. And before he knew it, he was one of the greatest boys in yeshiva. And before he knew it, he was flying. It all started from one compliment. And that's the idea that we're speaking about. When you focus in on something, here, Itzik, you're, you know, staying late to learn, kol hakavod. It opened up a petach of bracha. It opened up a shefa bracha, a bountiful amount of blessing. Rabosai, we have this ability all day to do this. This is what Achoteinu Ad Heila Feiravava, that Lavan is the one benching. Obviously, Baruch Hashem, we're not on the level of Lavan. But it doesn't matter who it is. One should never say, who am I to give a bracha to somebody else? It's not about you. It's about pressing the button. The guys in NASA press the button. Are they NASA scientists? Not necessarily. They're technicians. Press the button. Boom! It goes up, right? Hopefully, you know, not with a boom, but a straight up. Yeah. That's what it takes. And we've spoken about this before, and I'm emphasizing it again. And the Sefer Chovat HaAdam Ba'olamo, he said, Mimidat Ayin Tova 33, Limso Hizdamniyot Levarecha Chavero Kechol Sheyuchal. Look for opportunities to bless other people. Milvad HaShefa Shemevi Bekach HaChavero. Aside from the bounty you give your friends, it gives you the Mida of Ayin Tova. And he says, you know, there are certain opportunities that we have to give brachos to people, like a chasna. He brings here that Rabbi Yerucham Zatzal was once at a wedding, and he just paid attention to the people giving a mazel tov to the chasna's father. He said 70% were not into their bracha. Mazel tov, mazel tov. He says, before you walk into giving a bracha, think about what are you about to give a bracha to? How you should give a bracha? It shouldn't be mitzvah samanashim ulumata out of nimos, out of, you know, just this is the social etiquette. But rather, think for a few minutes. Wow, you have a tremendous chassan. He's had such bal midos. He's so erlech. Whatever it is, you should have a lot of nachas from him. You mention the positive qualities of this chassan. You're bringing down a shefa bracha, and likewise for the kala, whatever her special qualities are. This is the idea. And he says here, the Zohar HaKadosh, and the squiggly in 34, Kimisha mer shivchosha chaveiro, when you praise your friend, whether it's him, his children, his money, sarich levarcho b'ayin tova, bless him with a good eye. And we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, v'yichem hayom kichoch v'yashamayim laro, you are like the stars of heaven. And then it says, Hashem elokechem, elokechem osechem, yosef olechem katam elef pamim, Hashem should bless you many fold. My friends, this is the story we spoke about, and it happens to be one of my favorites, so I'm got to bring it again, of the Sabbath of Sabotka, when he'd pass by the house of the Rosh Yeshiva, even if nobody was there, he would turn to the house and say, Boker Tov, good morning. And they would say to him, but there was no one in the house. When do you say hello to a house? He says, when I passed by the Rosh Yeshiva's house, I thought of the Rosh Yeshiva, and I want to wish him a good day. So I'm not in front of the Rosh Yeshiva, but I want to wish him a bracha. You know, my friends, how many little kinderlach we pass all day to be thinking or to give brachas that they should have a successful day in school, they should have a successful day in learning. We could be giving brachas all day long. Wow. Do you know how many buttons we'd be pressing? You know, machefa bracha? This is what it's all about, my friends. You want to have on the first level that Hashem should come down in the multitudes of Klal Yisrael, so then feel this achdus, feel this unity of gathering together Klal Yisrael by being a conduit of blessing that unifies Klal Yisrael together. And that way we can bring down such a shefa bracha, such a powerful zerah, such a powerful force of blessing. There's nothing stopping us, my friends. This is the message. By taking Lavan's bracha to use that as Birkas Chasanim, it shows you how anyone has the ability to give a bracha, and that bracha is something we use for generations afterwards. Just to take this idea one step further, one step deeper, the Josh David, Rav David Hofstetter, who brings here from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the prominent members of the community, spread a cloth on the bride's head, and they bless her, saying, may you, our sister, become thousands of nearest. And he says here, nevertheless, there's something exceptionally unique about this blessing, 37. Rivka was about to leave her family. They were not pleased with her decision. They would have greatly preferred that she remain at home for a number of months or even a year, if they requested. But Rivka was about to embark on a journey, a new lifestyle, totally foreign. Yet despite all this, they overcame their own feelings, blessed Rivka that she'd be successful in her endeavors. Furthermore, the second half of Lavan's blessing, may your descendants take possessions of the city of their enemies, runs counter to any consideration of her own welfare. After all, his descendants would be among the enemies of Rivka's descendants. As Chazal teach, Lavan did not realize the consequences of the great prophecy. He was articulating this blessing by saying, may your descendants take possession of the city of their enemies. He and his mother were cursing themselves while they blessed their sister Rivka. Thus, what was so unique and special about Lavan's blessing to Rivka was that it was totally altruistic, given with no thought of personal gain. This made it the ideal and indeed the most powerful blessing he could have given her. This is the reason it has become traditional to bless a bride just prior to her marriage with Lavan's blessing. For invoking this blessing, that the blessing we are bestowing on the bride is one, indicates that the blessing we are bestowing on the bride is one that has been given absolutely wholeheartedly and selflessly. That's why we choose this bracha. It's a bracha that's totally altruistic. It's a bracha not about us. And that's really what a bracha is about, to be able to be, to the ayin hu yifarech, the one who is good eye. He should be the one to give brachas, Chazal tell us. And that's why he brings down here in 38, in the footnote for the Pelo Yoetz, the bracha of parents on Friday night is such a powerful bracha, because it's not about them, it's about their children. And that's the type of bracha we should learn to give. Not, what am I going to get from this? And you know, no, it's not about me. It's about just giving brachas to other people and be able to give brachas all day to people. You know, I know with my students, at the end of class, quite a number of them come over to me, even though the class was not one of my better ones, they say, thank you. And I answer them two words, be blessed. And the challenge is that most of them don't answer amen. Chaval, I'm giving you a bracha. Be blessed. So, my friends, we see the bracha is about Lavan and Rivka, being able that you should have so many children that you are going to be able to have the Shechina among you, and Hashem will respond to all of your needs. Pure bracha. And even if Lavan wanted to have the negative force, he was able to say that, no, it's going to be a wedding, a zivug, a match that's without negativity whatsoever. The second level, it's not about who gives the bracha. It's about the bracha itself and how we should go out and mamish be that person who gives brachas to other people and look for opportunities to give brachas. The third level, it's nothing to do with Lavan, has to do with Rivka. The Tchela Mordechai Rav Shvadron HaKohen, as well as a number of other mefarshim, point out, Yeshul Takdek, the Havelei Lameimar Atihiyi, Kalfei Rivava, not Atihiyi. If you take a look at the Hebrew, they said to their sister, Atihiyi means, and you will be like thousands and myriads. It doesn't mean Atihiyi, you will be, which will mean you will be the mother of. Atihi means you yourself, Rivka, will be like the multitudes. And we find here the idea, the tirates the imu tzadikim yeachat shakul keneged harbe. We'll develop this idea very soon, Mirzashem, that with tzadikim you can have one person who's worth a lot, like Moshe Rabbeinu with shakul, was worth all of Klal Yisrael. And indeed, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, Source 40, Veshar Lomar, Shibirchoota, Shetala, Bemailos Rabot, Achehi Batmati, Yeshkula, Kalfei Ravava, that she herself should be like multitudes. As we find in Shir Shirim, the Moshe Rabbeinu was Shokul, Kenegat Shishim Ribo, Moshe Rabbeinu was equal to 600,000. How is this possible? How could a person be equal to so many people? So I'd like to suggest two understandings of what this is about. One is based on the Klei Yoker. The Klei Yoker notes that this bracha of Rivka Imenu is almost parallel to the bracha that Avram Avinu was given after the Akedah. And the Dvir Kacho deals with the language difference of Sonav and Oivav. It's not going to be our discussion for today. Ne'emar Lashon Zev V'Yirash Zarech Echar Oivav, that Avram Avinu was told that your children should inherit the gates of your enemy. Ki kach hamida v'chol gom lechasim. What does Rivka Imenu and Avram Avinu have in common? They were people who were very into doing acts of kindness. And when you do acts of kindness, sheishlam olavim rabim, you have many people who love you. And if you have many people who love you, then you will know that you will be protected, and if your enemies come, you'll be saved by those all who love you. And that's what it means. That you should be like Avram Avinu. Ye ratzon shetizkeh lehitiv, the asterisk in Kleiyakar 42. V'ligmol chesed lalfei rivava ki ye rav chelech. The bracha that you should be like myriads of people means that you should be able to help myriads of people. You should be a gomelet chesed, doing acts of kindness. Shlach lach mecha al pnei amayim, lalfei rava nashim. Cast your bread on the waters, let thousands of people benefit from you. This bracha of at heyi lalfei rava is a very powerful bracha. We're giving Rivka Imenu, we're giving the Kala. We're saying to her that you have the capacity. You have the capacity to be like a Rivka Imenu and go out and do chesed to the multitudes of people. You can impact a lot of people. And this bracha that we're giving Rivka Imenu is really the bracha that the first Jew, Avraham Avinu, was given. And this is like the mantra, like the goal that every Jew should reach. Again, Birkas Mordechai Rav Mizrachi, 43. Marana Mashkiach. Mashkiach would speak a lot about this bracha that Avraham Avinu was given. You should be a blessing. It's a destiny. It's a command for us to reach this. What is Vayebracha about? So we know in this week's parsha, it says, Avraham zakein ba bayamim v'Hashem v'rach et Avraham bakol, that Hashem blessed Avraham with everything. So here you see, just like Hashem blesses Avraham with the quality of bakol, he'll have the fellow's love, and it's also blessing to a certain degree, Rivka Imenu with also this bracha of bakol. What is bakol about? So the Medrash speaks about how the Malchei Mizrach Mara, the kings of the east and the west, are going to come to Avraham Avinu, and he's going to provide for them all their needs. He's going to be able to be a Leo Bracha, Kol Kulo Leo Bracha Toelet, and the dot, double underline of 45. Whatever they need, he's going to provide for them. You need advice, he'll give you advice. You need refuah, he'll bless you that you should have health. That Avraham Avinu became the conduit of Bracha, that whenever there was a need, you could turn to him and he will fulfill that need. He will bless you that your need will be fulfilled. He was the place of a bracha, comes from the word brecha, which is a spring. He was an overflowing spring. Ve'ye bracha means that we should be one overflowing with blessing. We should be one overflowing with helping other people. We should be one whose whole identity is about how can we make other people feel good. How can we make other people help them and look for opportunities to be able to help those people who are in need. That was the bracha that Lavan's giving the Kala, and that's the bracha that we give every Kala. At Heila Fei Rivava, you should be like the multitude. You should be able to accomplish it through chesed. You should be able to accomplish Vayivrachu. They blessed her. That you should be a blessing. That's the bracha itself. That you should be overflowing blessing to be able to help other people. And that's what it means on a deeper level. That one person can equal many people. Not only that you can reach many people, but the acts themselves that you do can have the power to influence so many people. And this is the idea of Brazil gives in 48, that the power of one action, it's brought down in the Sfarim, Kolosa, Tzedakah, Mishpat, Kilumile, Kolam, Kulo, Chesed. You do acts of loving kindness as if you fill the whole world with Chesed. We know in Avos Rabbi Natan, the asterisk of 48, you greet your friend with a beautiful face. Even if you haven't given him anything, it's as if you've given him all the great presents in the world. Rabosai, well, we have to understand it. And I was very excited about seeing this piece because I felt it was a continuation of our last 2 weeks. We don't invest enough, perhaps, and we're working on it, in our actions. That the footsteps of our actions, we spoke about Parshat Lech Lecha, have such import. Yukach namat mayim, if someone else does something or we do something, the import. Rabosai, do you understand how one action we do, you greet somebody with a real smile. You really take an interest in them. It's as if you've given them all the great gifts in the world. How one person can fill a space of so many people through the actions that we do. The action itself fills up such a great space. You know, Rabbi Brazil brings down in 47, the Tosefta that explains, which is a very complicated inyan, that if the Goyim say, give us such and such Jew, and if you don't give us this person, we're going to kill an entire city. You're not allowed to give this Jew over. So the obvious question is, one person versus 10,000, like, hello? And the Tosefta says, yes, I understand that. But you don't know, maybe that one person is worth 10,000. And that's the bracha that Rivka is given. That you should live your life with everything that you do, that you as a person are worth multitudes of people. You yourself should be equal to 22,000 people because of who you are, and recognize the actions that you do, the chesed that you do, should be able to fill up the entire world. That's the goal that we need to have. That's the mindset we need to have. Like the Torah we learn on Shabbos is you can't even imagine. It's worth so much more than the Torah we learned during the week. Because in time, and in mitzvot, and in people, it's not 2 plus 2 equals 4. 2 plus 2 could equal 4,000. It's not the dimensions the way we register it. And that is why the theme that we've been developing this year is the theme of being able to invest the entirety of our being. We grow in quantum leaps. Our action grows in quantum leaps. The whole aspect of what Yiddishkeit is about in effect grow in quantum leaps. That, my friends, is the third level. So level number one is, we have the Chasam Sofer we mentioned, that we turn Lava's bracha into our bracha, Achoteinu Ad, you are our sister. Good. Level number one, Lavan is mamish, giving a bracha, that even the negative forces shouldn't affect this Chasam Akala, they should be worthy of having multitudes of children, that they, Shechina should rest among them, and all their blessings should be fulfilled. Idea number three, it's Lavan himself who's giving this bracha to show you that every person has the ability to bless any person. A little child can press the button and the light goes on, right? You have a two-year-old, you know, turn on the light goes on. It's amazing. Even looking at the person, you know, I'm sure they have lights. I know when I was growing up, I used to babysit for a family, you just went shh, and the light went on, right? So there are other abilities to blink, and you can work your machines. Even looking at a person can give them an ayin tov or an ayin ra, compliment people. When you compliment them, you're opening them up for a tremendous amount of bracha. It's it. One compliment changes entire life. Dori doros. Go out and find those compliments. On the third level, on the fourth level, and it's nothing to do with Lavan, it has to do with Rivka. And the bracha we're giving Rivka is a bracha we give every kala. You through your acts of chesed reach out to thousands. You yourself through the acts that you do can be equal to thousands. Everything that we do is quantum leaps. We don't understand it. Stop thinking small. Stop living small. Stop acting small. Invest in what we are doing. And the final idea, my friends, is a valid idea. It has nothing to do with Lavan. Has nothing to do with Rivka. This bracha that we're giving is to an entirely different group of people, and in fact, they're not even found there. What do I mean? So here we go. Yeshua Melech, again, the Sefer Ramaisel, Springs Down 49. Minhag Yisrael Lomar Laha. Akala Kodem Achopa. Achoteinu An Hayilu Afei Ravava. V'yishloma. V'tam Av Dover Apima Shekatav. Shekatu B'Sefer Vayivcha Moshe. We're in the bracket of 49. When Hashem sends down a soul into this world, he the poor soul says, no, I'm not going down here. I mean, it's nice and cozy up in heaven. Right? You want me to come down to earth? It's a very painful place down here. No. I'm going to pass. Until the angels come and try to appease this soul. And what do they say to her? Go down to this world. You can accomplish a tremendous amount by having these multitudes of people, by doing acts as we just saw, that will be worth multitudes of people. People who have children, people who don't have children. You are going to accomplish multitudes in this world. It's worth coming down here. We know the Kedusha Slavery, Levi Yitzchak and Badishev speaks about. Why does the chassan cry when he's standing in the chuppah? And such had the shemos hatidot lavo mimenu l'olam hazeh, yeshlam tzar shetuchim lazov olam ha'elyon, shu olam ha'chedva v'sason v'simcha v'yitzarchu lavo l'olam hazeh, v'eim ha'orim oto l'b'chiyat kadvar v'kadoshim. We know at the wedding, not only are the past souls of our grandparents and great-grandparents, sometimes parents, who are no longer alive, their souls are present at a chuppah, right? There's an idea of sending invitations to them. We're not talking about that now. We spoke about the Shmuzim Shir a few years ago in Sukkot. But the souls of our future children are also there. And why, says the Kedusha Levi, why does the chassan cry? Because those souls are as if, like, crying to him, do you really have to bring me down to this world? Like, do I really have to be here? And it's like something that the chassan can't even, understand. It's like, you know, these souls are saying, I know from this marriage I'm going to be brought to this world, but I really don't want to come down here. I live in a world of such joy. And this is perhaps a so gadol. This is the great secret we begin with, that we turn to the Kala right before she goes to the chuppah and says, I know you and the chassan are going to be crying about, you know, these souls that don't want to come down. So we are turning now to these souls and we're saying to them, as is said to them right before they actually enter into the world, we're not turning to the Kala here. We're talking to those souls who are hovering above the Kala's chair. And we're saying to those souls, don't worry. You are going to be able to be bountiful down in this world. You're going to accomplish a lot. Relax. Don't worry that you're going to have to be brought into this world. So on this level, my friend, when we bless the Kala, so to speak, Achoteinu Ad Ha'ilo Fei Revava, we have to understand the power of the one giving the bracha. We have to understand the power of the one receiving the bracha. We have to understand how this is a protection to the chassan and Kala, that there should be no kitrum, no negativity. We should understand that it just brings down tremendous electrifying lights, and we should compliment the chassan and Kala. We should be able to bring down a tremendous shefa of tremendous power of bracha. We should be really mindful when we say this bracha, that we're really benching that the individual themselves should be multiply and to be able to do the power of their actions, and at the same time have in mind that Achoteinu Ad Ha'ilo Fei Revava is to these little these little souls that are hovering above, and to say to them, you will be zocha to be part of this beautiful family. You'll be zocha to come down to this world, and you yourselves will be able to procreate and be able to accomplish so much. Achoteinu ad ha'ilo fei revava. Don't worry. To come down into this world is a tremendous amount of bracha, tremendous amount of goodness that can come here. And the key is that when we say these brachas, whatever bracha it is, Ephraim and Menashe, the bracha of Achoteinu Ad, or any bracha we give to Chassan and Kala, their family, or to any person during the day, have a good day. You should give it with a fullness of heart, with really feeling you're pressing a button, like NASA, bringing down tremendous shefa, a bracha, and he writes them, that all our brachas will be mekuyam, l'tova, they will be fulfilled for the good, and we'll be able to feel that wherever Hashem's name is mentioned, Hashem will come and bless us, and the blessings will all be fulfilled, l'tova, l'vracha, for the good, and for to be continuous blessing.